She Did It Her Way podcast, episode 114, Scrappy to Savvy and Everything in Between with Michael Donnelly.
Welcome to the She Did It Her Way podcast, a collective of interviews with top female entrepreneurs from around the globe who have done it their way. These women are disruptors, savvy, courageous, confident, innovative, decisive, unconventional, and humble. Our ladies have proven business models, have taken risks, and have failed only for success to follow. Join us as they share their stories, behaviors, habits, mindset, thought processes, and what it is like to be a woman who means business. And now, here's your host, Amanda Bolin.
Hey, She Did Her Way listeners. This is your host, Amanda Bolin. Thank you guys so much for tuning in today. I am going to tell you that this week's podcast interview with Michael Donnelly, who is the CEO of Brandless, is for anyone who is an entrepreneur, wants to be an entrepreneur, or feels like they absolutely need to be an entrepreneur, because maybe you have or someday will experience the highs and lows of entrepreneurship. Because let's face it, behind the glamorous Instagram pictures and badass clients that maybe I, myself, or you have acquired and shared about on Facebook, entrepreneurship is not easy. There are going to be times when the simplest achievement, like making your first profit off of your first product or service, feels like you've won the lotto. Because entrepreneurship isn't always about attaining that awesome client or getting featured on Forbes 30 Under 30. Sometimes you have to get a little scrappy before you can reach savvy. And that is what today's interview is all about with Michael Donnelly. And also, bonus, we actually recorded this podcasts live in person versus typically I do them via Skype. And we did this one live and we actually got to stream it from Women's Entrepreneur Facebook Live page. So I put a link on the show notes where you guys can click and watch it happen as if you were there. I hope to do more of those in the future, not only in Chicago, but around the country and around the globe. So make sure you guys stay tuned for that. But coming up next is Scrappy to Savvy and Everything in Between with Michael Donnelly. Hi, everyone. My name is Amanda Bolin, and I am the host of She Did It Her Way podcast, a podcast dedicated to interviewing female entrepreneurs from all across the globe, sharing the behind the scenes of what it is to be a female, doing entrepreneurship, and doing it your way. So today I have Michael Donnelly.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Who is the CEO of Brandless. And before we get started, I do want to thank Leah Kaplanis, who is the founder of Social Enjoyments, for providing our refreshments for this evening. So I'm super stoked to get started, so I'm going to turn it over to Michael, and I'm going to have her share what it is that she does.
So just want to let you guys out there know we do have a live audience with us. We're here in Chicago at Brandless headquarters, so that's where you may hear some laughing, hopefully, if we're doing everything right. And to our entrepreneur woman audience, or women entrepreneur, excuse me, hello again. We have streamed with you before when we hosted Venture Forward, Venture for Women and Diversity Conference here in Chicago. So we're going to have a lot of fun tonight. What we do here at Brandless, in one sentence, because that's a question that you asked me before. I gotta get ready for it. We fearlessly adventure to inspire and enjoy through creating brand experiences. What does that mean? You experience a brand at every moment of your life, whether you're realizing it or not. And in any medium, we help identify that brand story and make it something that resonates with your audience. So as Brandless, it's not about our brand, it's about the brands we represent. We are your brand's blank canvas. So we have a lot of fun because we can do things like organizing and designing offices, running social media campaigns, doing photo and video shoots, really anything under the sun. Web development, events, all of the craziness that comes along with really marketing to and engaging with your audience and creating that experience with them.
Okay, so how did you get here? Share us the journey behind the crazy madness of entrepreneurship.
So a lot of people here in the room know my story already, but for those of you out there watching, I started in the world of tech with a conference here in Chicago called Tech Week. I lived through six tech weeks, and that was over 2 years. My first tech week was in Chicago, 2013. At that point, we had 2,000 attendees. I was one of the first four employees, and we were in one city. By the time I left tech week, we were in five cities, 14,000 attendees in Chicago, and up to 30 employees. So I got to know the entrepreneurship and tech space very quickly, excitedly. We were like always all in at the office all the time. Startup culture 101. If you stayed past 9, your dinner was covered in your cab home. You were there with your friends. You were engaging. And with the events, we were creating opportunities for people to be there and working, but also creating relationships. We're having a lot of fun. After I left Tech Week, I noticed that there was a big gap in the market. So when people want to connect throughout the year, we only host a Tech Week in cities once a year. And that left a really lot of space for other engagements. A lot of people want to do events, but don't know how to and shouldn't. It's one of those weird marketplaces where everybody can, but it's complicated. There are nuances, there are things that you can do to make it easier for yourself, that you can do to make it better overall. So that's where I started a small event management consulting company here in Chicago. After a year of doing that and engaging with a few clients, helped Microsoft with some of their local events, helped the Boys and Girls Club with some of their fundraisers, did a number of startup launch parties, worked with some local PR groups to engage their target market. Actually, one of the guests here brought up an event that he came to, Marketing Madness, where we worked to set up specific types of marketing engagement and guided networking. So shout out to Walker Sands for that. It was a lot of fun. Fast forward, I met my current business partners, Kevin Romer and Rick Gruber, and we had known each other for a few years and had realized we were passing work back and forth on a regular basis. And the clients that Brandless.io represented in the digital space and the branding space were needing the exact same type of services as far as events and consulting that I was providing. And it got to the point where why not come together, collaborate, and build something where we can engage on a higher level and check off more boxes and be that kind of full service toolbox for those clients. So that's when we came together to form what is today Brandless in February of this year, 2016. So that's the crazy roadmap of where we are.
Yes. So I always ask this because entrepreneurship can look very glamorous to a lot of people from the outside in. Yes, it is quite glamorous, let me tell you.
Hello, that's right.
Anyway, what is the toughest part about being a part of a startup and especially having multiple partners into the mix of that as well?
I think the toughest part is learning how to deal with the ups and downs. The highs are so high and the lows are so low. And everything that a normal person understands as reality is completely different than what an entrepreneur's reality is. When you make $1,000, it's like you made $100,000 some days, because that little win can change your entire life. When you go 4 months without enough money to pay certain bills, but making sure all of your employees are paid, you feel the weight of that on your back. When you remember what it was like to have friends, I'm sure you feel this a lot as well, especially as you've been focusing more on the podcast, people don't understand that everything that I've done for the past 2 years is pointing toward this North Star, is pointing toward this vision that we've come up with and that we're driving towards. And when I blow off, in their words, or when I prioritize my professional life over my personal life, you know, I don't go on a lot of dates. Or if I do, it's like, okay, I'll see you in 3 months when I'm free again. Or, hey friends, it was really fun that one time we went to happy hour 2 weeks ago. Don't expect to see me for another month because I'm going to be heads down. I mean, this week alone, I've been at the office, you know, from morning till evening. We had an event here last night with a partner and client of ours, the Rise Movement, doing a focus group with a number of different people from different political backgrounds coming together to actually bridge the gap in conversation. The night before, I don't even remember what it was, but we were here working on all the stuff we were building for the week.
What's your highest high and your lowest low?
Highest high, I think, would have to be this past September when we were able to pull together the Venture Forward Summit in Chicago with the team that we have here, because we all were able to exercise every point of our creativity, every skill set that we value within one another as the team, and deliver an event that changed lives. I mean, we have three clients now from that event that have turned into clients, but actually they were separate parties and came together to form new companies and new partnerships based on engaging with the speakers, with the partners, with the sponsors, with the people who were attending. And the feedback is honestly like we're changing people's lives, but we had a lot of fun while doing that. And that's where you can't sleep, can't eat, can't breathe, because everything is driving toward that big event, and it took over our lives for the time being period that we worked towards it. And it, you have an event baby. We had it, and everyone's like, oh my god, that was great. And
got it.
I would have to say that's definitely the highest high. And from my colleague's standpoint, I'm sure that a couple of them have different opinions on their highest high. But after, when we all sat down and high-fived and basically hugged and like fell on whatever furniture was around, you knew that huge sense of relief, and the level of camaraderie on our team was 7 levels higher. Mm-hmm. Probably getting a little red because I'm talking so fast over here. That's my Italian side coming out.
So on the flip side then, what is the lowest of lows?
Bills.
Money.
Understanding. Yeah. Well, other people's livelihoods are in your hands, and you're trying to keep in mind your own professional goals, but then understand that their professional goals are tied to your vision, and there's a level of responsibility. Then looking at your personal bills and saying, oh, yeah, I remember when that was down to here and now it's up to here. What are we going to do about that? We're going to put our heads down. We're going to work very hard. We're going to remember why we all came to the table and what we're building, and realize that there's going to be a few months where you have to pay some late fees and have some fun laughing about it later.
What do you, I mean, especially being in such the early startup with things, I can only imagine, like going extremely crazy, super fast. Mm-hmm. What is your process or system for what you say yes to and what you say no to?
It's based on feeling a lot right now. The tricky part in early stage entrepreneurship for startups is having the guts to say no to certain clients and to certain dollars when you know that you need them. And then really seeking out, putting your head down, and striving to partner and engage with the clients that make you feel good, the clients that take you to the next level as an individual, as a company, as a group. And you really have to feel it, because if you don't, the client can tell, you can tell, and you do mediocre work, and that doesn't turn into the referrals and the client partnerships that you want long term. It doesn't feed either side the way that it needs to.
Yeah. What's the toughest conversation you've ever had to have so far, being the CEO?
With who?
Could be your team.
Okay.
It could be a client.
I've had a lot of interesting conversations. I don't know if I can say that one is the toughest. When it comes to parting ways or when it comes to dollars, those conversations are always complicated. And they're always emotional, and where we've taken a step back when things got heightened is allowing ourselves to be logical and think about the big picture. We actually made a video after the election that I think kind of leads to this, because this has been a really interesting year for a lot of people with the political climate, and it's so emotional, so heightened, and there's a lot of crazy things being posted on both sides of the argument. And here at Brandless, we've had people that voted all different ways, and we sat down and talked about that, and then put together a video talking about how in this office we're united together. And with that united together front, we started from a logical point of view of these are the things that we value, and then how we get there is where we can kind of argue back and forth. But as a company, how we've gotten away from those difficult conversations where we've had to part ways with people, or we've had to talk about, hey, this is where the money is this month, and how is it all getting allocated, and who worked hard and who didn't right now, but who's planning what for the future. We're looking, and I can't say we always do this, because let's be honest, we're all working towards being better. We're looking to continue that model from that video and from that mindset of anytime there's a hard conversation, talk about the facts, talk about the logical pieces of it, and then see how we can connect there.
Yeah. What's the toughest part about your business and being the CEO right now?
Remembering to do my work and making time for my clients and our clients that reach out to me. My role is being responsible for everybody else here, in a sense, and making sure we're all on track and everybody's communicating with each other, and that we have a good cultural vibe and there's conversation happening. And then I get distracted by being pulled in a million different directions, and time blocking has been a way that I've been able to avoid that or combat that, but it's also something that I can't always do, and gets complicated. So I know there's a couple clients out there, if you're watching, that I owe proposals to. Sorry. I'll get those to you by the end of the week, or I'll really work on it.
Just need her for 30 minutes. It's all. It's all.
So I think that's the hardest part, is remembering to block time for the projects that I'm working on within the company, and to spearhead the company further, so that everybody can then continue to do their work, and being available for certain questions, and not being the clog in the pipe. There's a better way to say that.
Bottleneck.
There you go. So I was like, you know what I'm talking about, the funnel.
Right. Yeah. Bottleneck, operations management.
Yeah.
So what is something that, again, like entrepreneurship is this some like sexy thing that a lot of people are like, I want to be an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
And I think you choose entrepreneurship because of all the things that come with it. But what is maybe something that's like a smoke and mirrors, that's a facade that not most people are willing to share about entrepreneurship, but really is a fact when you peek behind the curtain?
I think you identified what the fact is within your question. A lot of what goes on in the entrepreneurship world is smoke and mirrors. Mm-hmm. It's understanding how to identify people that you can respect and be in a professional relationship with, and the people that are all like, hey, I'm the best, hey, I'm the best, I'm the best, look at me. Because at the end of the day, there are a lot of those things going on, because as an entrepreneur, there's not a lot of checks and balances. It's kind of the wild, wild west. You're trying to grow something, you're trying to build something, and it's a matter of he said, she said, and whoever gets the most media coverage. I mean, we've watched a few of the giants crumble recently. I know there's some articles published about different companies who, you know, rose to the top of, you know, Forbes 30 under 30 or this or that, and then turns into, well, these people actually weren't what they said they were and were lying to everyone. And I think the main point is remembering to be true to your values, remembering to do the work that you promised to do, under-promise and over-deliver, because at the end of the day, you'll win, you'll get there, you'll make it. You just have to kind of watch what's going on around you, keep tabs on everything, but be ready for the craziness. And once you get into it, mm-hmm. like, you know, before you're in it, it's like, oh my God, all these people are so amazing. And then when you're in it, you're like, oh yeah, you're just like me. Oh, you're not that great. Oh, you are amazing. I can't wait to get to know you better. So those are the kind of nuances that appear within.
Yeah, and I think a lot of times it comes back to the stories that we tell ourselves. So the perspective we have from the outside looking in, we can make up stories in our own mind about something that we see versus what is reality into that too. So mm-hmm. I know we're coming down on time here, so I just have a few more questions.
Yeah.
Where do you feel you've experienced the most growth personally, being an entrepreneur?
It's funny that you ask, because my dad just walked in the room. Hey, Dad.
Hi, Dad.
I've experienced the most growth as far as self-control. I'm from the south side of Chicago, and I'm Italian and Irish, and I'm known for being very passionate. I can't say I'm awesome at this yet, but I used to be very reactive and very defensive. Those pieces of me still come out. They're still in here, but I've learned to take a few steps back when people say things to me, especially in the position that I'm in, because I need to understand where they're coming from with those questions, rather than just be like, no, you're wrong, get out of my way.
Yeah.
Or I can't believe you said that, I know how to do this. So it's approaching that piece of the conversation in a way that's inclusive of other people's ways of thinking and ways of working, and finding out how to either connect the dots with them to the most efficient way, whether it be something in the middle, mine or theirs, but we just both understand it. And being self-aware, I'm also still working on that, but that's something that happens with maturity, happens with age, and happens with working with the right types of people that call you out on it, but help you grow from it and not make you feel bad. And I think that's important.
Yeah. So, two questions left.
Yes.
One, Actually, I lied, three, but we'll make it quick. One, what are some of your top books that you recommend for people?
She read mine ahead of time, so now that's why she's asking.
Well, and I have books.
No, you ask that all the time. I listen to the podcast, I know. My number one, because I think it really humanizes everyone, is Everyone Poops. It's a children's book. Everyone comes on the show and says all of these really great business books. Oh, but at the end of the day, for me, we all put our pants on one leg at a time. We all have to pull our shirts over our head and button them up the same way. When you talked about the smoke and mirrors or the giants that are in the industry or the people that we look up to and aspire to be, if you think about it, they're just like us as a human, and how do we look to them, look to ourselves, and help grow to be in those spaces and get out of our own way, that imposter syndrome that comes mm-hmm. with a lot of entrepreneurship. Yes. It's a scary area, and I can't say everyone feels it, but I know I've felt it, and I think thinking back to that book is humanizing and makes everybody laugh, and also it's kind of fun. Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Mm-hmm. I hate numbers and finances, and for me, that's something that I need to be consciously aware of as something that I'm not great at. So I work to train myself and talk to other people and ask questions, and that was, I have my master's and I've taken finance and accounting, and I learned more from reading that book than I did in my classes because it applied it in a way that was approachable for me to understand. So assets versus liabilities, heard those words a million times. Figured out what they mean in my life now, and now I'm applying them in a business perspective here. And then I'm currently reading Girl Boss, and that one is cool because there's just a lot of like, go you, kick ass, have fun.
Yeah, Sophia, she's good. Second to last question, one piece of advice if you could give to anyone who's thinking about starting a business.
Mm-hmm. Make sure it's something that is deep within you and you're driven. It has to be a piece of your heart, Anne-Marie, back there. It has to be something that's in your heart and you need to get out of you, because during the hard times, there has to be that force that's driving you. I know that there's something inside of me, and I've found partners that feel the same way, that needs to get out and will help change the way that the world works. So if you don't have that, then figure out what other groups that you're interested in and maybe partner with a startup, because there are other ways to be entrepreneurs. You don't have to be the one starting it, having all of the pieces together. And then a piece of advice that I always give is save money. Save as much as you can before you make the jump, because it goes very quickly and it is something that makes it all a lot harder when you don't have it available and you don't have it readily working. I've found some tricky solutions in the past and I'm still working through them, and we're at the phase where we're growing enough that it's good that I'm able to give that advice and look back like, all right, cool, man. Like, everybody should think
money.
About that.
Yeah. Save, that's for sure. Okay, last question. If you could give your life a movie title, and it could be an existence, or you can make your own makeup movie title, what would you name your movie?
Oh, man. Well, I think the title of this segment, Scrappy to Savvy, is a good one. That's a mantra that I've adopted, and pretty much everyone who's worked with me at some point knows that when I do any type of project, here's the ideal, let's write that down. Now, how are we going to get there with the resources we have and the creativity we have? So be scrappy until you can be savvy and figure out how to connect all the dots in between and make that a picture that everybody's excited about.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much,
yeah,
Michael.
Absolutely.
I appreciate it. If you guys
want
to give her a round of applause.
Big thank you to all of you out there with Entrepreneur Women. We are excited to be here, women entrepreneurs, depending on how you're looking at it, and we look forward to talking to you again in the future.
Thanks for tuning in to the She Did It Her Way podcast. Did you like this episode? Head on over to iTunes.com to leave us a rating and a review. We would love to hear from you. And don't forget to check out SheDidItHerWayPodcast.com, where you can subscribe to our email list so you can receive the inside scoop on our latest episode released each Monday. Now, do us a favor and go make it a great week.